Hello, everyone. It's time again for the Living Letter Ministries radio broadcast. Like always, God is good and he is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. The Lord, he has you in his heart. He has you in mind. Your needs are and concerns. It's his desire to heal you, to bless you, to meet every need that you have, to give you his wisdom. I always encourage people to take him at his word. If the Lord said it, he meant it. Whoever he was talking to in the word, I like to read how he helped them solve their problems and concerns. I take that same advice for myself. All through the word, Satan was trying to tear somebody's life down. He was plotting against them, and the Lord would always, as they regarded his word, he would always bring back what the enemy stole. He would always help them win. He would always heal their pains. He would always help them out. And we get to know the Lord by trusting him in our lives. Wherever we need him, if we trust him and take him at his word concerning that thing, we'll get to know him in that area of life. And I thank God that he's still alive and he's well and able to help us throughout whatever we go through. So you don't have to suffer at Satan's will. When he comes against you, when he brings the negative thoughts, the evil deeds, learn what God has to say and take him at his word. He did give us authority over Satan. You can all, at your will, you can tell Satan what he can't do. And he's arrested. You arrested him. We're just like spiritual policemen. If you say something, he's got to obey you. The word of God teaches that in Matthew chapter 16, verse 18 and through 20. And again in Matthew 18, verses 18 through 20. And again in Luke chapter 10. And there are other scriptures where people took authority over Satan at their will, and Satan had to obey him, and then he had to stop his works. Well, the Lord is with you now. You can't leave the presence of the Lord because he's wherever you go. You may not notice him, but he's there. And when you speak his word, heaven backs you up. What Jesus said, what you bind on earth is bound in heaven. What you loose on earth is loosed in heaven. And the Lord expects us to operate according to his word. And if we do, that's when you get to know him, because he's still alive to back up all your prayers and all of your concerns. I thank him for that. God is wise. He put everything together with good structure. And I thank the Lord for all those things. Again, we have a wonderful guest today, my pastor, Jim McCann III. He's the pastor of Victory Christian Fellowship, 2440 Minor Parkway in Adamsville. That's 2440 Minor Parkway in Adamsville, just across the street from Minor High School. And I thank the Lord for that. And he's been here. I joined the church in 06.
Yeah.
And this ministry is... God is right here doing miracles and works of healing. You can get taught the word of God. And Pastor calls it a training house of champions.
Amen.
If you want to win in life, come here. When I first came, the first Sunday I was here, the Lord said, those that join this church have gotten promoted.
Wow. So praise the Lord. Glory. Yeah, that's true. Come to think about it, that's true. Amen.
And it's a blessing. My children have been healed. My son came. He was having some terrible stomach pains, and he thought I came to church that night. So he was coming over, so he just came to church. And pastor had a word about anybody got a problem with their stomach. He came and got healed.
Amen.
And he told me how terrible he felt when he came and how great he felt when he left. I thank the Lord. That's a blessing. God is still in the healing business. Last broadcast, we talked about that. And you don't have to go through this life with Satan's foot on your neck.
Absolutely. Amen.
And you're actually supposed to live the rest of your life after you meet Jesus with your foot on Satan's neck.
Right. Absolutely. Amen.
And I don't like...
Making him the Lord's footstool.
That's right. I don't like to see... anybody under the oppression of Satan.
Absolutely.
And it's not necessary, and it's not God's will. But I thank the Lord for the works of God, and I thank the Lord for my pastor. And the next voice you hear is that of my pastor, Pastor Jim McCann III.
Well, I appreciate you so much, Thurston. I thank God for you and what the work that you're doing, you know, with the radio broadcast and with the ministry as well, because you're reaching a lot of people.
Yeah.
By radio. I mean, this is, you know, this is great, great to be able to you know, get on the, it's wonderful how God has done things. You know, yeah, we can reach multiple thousands of people, you know.
Multiple thousands.
You know, you're on the radio, we're on television, you know, yeah, you right. know, Channel 80, you know, Channel Sunday 80. Morning, 8:30 Monday at 6. And so we're actually three times, I'm trying to think, they moved us to another slot. But we're on three times a week now, you know, on Channel 80. If you have Charter, just go to Channel 80.
Yeah.
And at those times and listen to us, we have the whole series. We're on for an hour. I mean, a whole hour. But you know, I was thinking about what you said about the healing power of God. And I remember it was Stephanie had brought this young girl. She's like 13 or whatever, 12 or 13, a little pretty girl. And she is so sweet. And she had never been to a church like this.
Yeah.
And I was, you know, church had, we had a move of God that day, and we'd taught the word, and some folks had gotten healed and so forth, and filled the Holy Ghost and so forth. And I, you know how after the service, I'm out greeting the people, and I was out sitting on the front porch.
Yeah.
You know, right there, you know, yeah. you know where yeah. people leave, and I was kind of cooling down because, you know, you get kind of hot, you know. And I was sitting there on the porch, and Stephanie brought her over and said, tell Pastor, you know, she introduced me to her, and I said, and she said, "Now tell Pastor, the word, one word, in one word, what you saw today, and what you told me."
Yeah.
And she said in one word, "Power." And that just blessed me so much. You know, that blessed me so much because she had never seen the power of God in operation.
Oh, yeah.
She had never seen anybody healed.
That's right.
She had never seen anybody set free by the power of God. Mm-hmm. And that has, you know, been the case since the inception. God has just so blessed us, mm-hmm. the inception of this ministry of people getting set free from everything from drug addiction all the way up to, I mean, devils, you know, even devils, I mean, you know. And as well as, you know, healed from all manner of disease. We got people that are in our church. Mm-hmm. They should have been dead a long time ago. You know, a few months ago, I laid hands on this lady come up. And you know how sometimes I'll tell people, I'll ask them, can you feel that? You know, because I want the anointing, goes into them. Sometimes you can feel it, you know. And her eyes got real big, and it was her shoulder.
Yeah.
And her shoulder was stiff, you know. And when I laid hands on her, her shoulder was loosed. And she could rotate it and move it, you know, because it had pretty much froze. Uh-huh. And she could move it. And what was amazing to me was when she kept staring at me like something was weird, you know. And then she started walking away. And every time she'd walk away, she'd move her shoulder. And then she'd look back at me. And then she'd move her arm around a little bit. And she'd look back. So she hadn't been able to do that. She didn't really, she'd never experienced the power of God like that before. But she got free. As a matter of fact, she's talked to me the other day about it, you know. And she's still set free, you know.
Yeah.
And one of the greatest things, I guess, you know, it doesn't always happen to the laying on of hands. God just sometimes just heals people in the service. We had a lady, and she was, I guess, an elderly lady. She's in her 70s. This was a couple of years ago, maybe 3 years ago. This kind of stands out. Mm-hmm. And we were having fellowship dinner afterwards. Yep. And we had a move of God, and she came up to me. And this lady was a very quiet. She's a very tender, quiet lady, mild-spoken. And she waited until everybody left, you know, and she came up to me, and I was getting ready to go back to the fellowship hall. And she said, "Pastor," she said, "I need to tell you something." I said, "Okay, hon, what's up?" She said, "Well, you know, when we were worshiping the Lord," and I said, "Yes." She said, "I said, Lord, heal somebody today."
Yeah.
And she said, "Pastor," and she's in her 70s now. Yeah. She said, "I've been deaf in my," I believe it was her left ear.
I remember
I've been deaf in my left ear since I was 7 years old.
Yeah.
And she said, "And my ear popped open." He She said, "Lord, heal somebody," and he healed her. Glory to God. And I said, "My goodness gracious." I said, "Honey, why did you let me tell me that so I could tell the congregation?" Yeah. It excited the congregation. So I went back and out to the fellowship hall and told everybody about it. Uh-huh. And but God is a good God.
God is good.
I mean, he is so wonderful. He wants to do miracles. He's doing miracles.
That's right.
Here at VCF, you know.
Every Sunday.
Absolutely. Every Sunday. You know, I'll see, one thing I think the problem has been, Thurston, uh-huh. when it comes to, you know, the Pentecostal, Word of Faith, you know, charismatic churches over the last,
yeah.
I guess, 15 years or yeah. better, mm-hmm. is that I think that we're losing the respect
yeah.
For the laying on of hands, and we kind of take it for granted now.
Yeah.
But see, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 6, 1 through 4 there, it calls... it speaks of the doctrines of baptisms, and it yeah. speaks of the doctrine of the laying on of hands, plural.
Yeah.
And actually, we're going to talk about that tonight in the church. This tonight yeah. is Wednesday. Mm-hmm. I don't know when this is going to air, but we're talking about this. We're doing Healing 101 on Wednesday nights,
yeah.
starting at 7:00. We're going through in the infallible proofs in regard to healing on Wednesday nights
yeah.
throughout the summer. But tonight we're going to talk about the doctrine of laying on of hands. We'll see. That is a doctrine of the church. It's a ordinance of the church.
Yeah.
And just like you have respect for Holy Communion,
yeah.
you should also respect, you know, the laying on of hands. And I think now the people are laying hands on everything. I mean, they're laying hands on trees. They're laying hands on, you know, everything. You know, and and it's. But what maybe what happens? It causes a lack of respect and our faith to wane. You
yeah.
understand what I'm saying? Because we kind of, when you disrespect something or lose respect for something, and yeah. honor, the honor of it, you
the
understand?
Honor, yeah, the honor of it.
You know, that's why, you know, a lot of times, you know, when you, for an example, with baptism, I believe that we've lost honor and respect with this basic baptism.
Yeah.
I mean, nowadays, you know, okay, we're going to have a picnic and we're going to baptize by the creek or something, you know, and uh-huh. we're going to have watermelons and corn on the cob, and
yeah.
while people are, you know, we're baptizing people, the kids are running around, and while people are eating watermelon and corn cob, corn on the cob, you know,
yeah.
and baptism, the whole initial of a new life beginning
yeah.
is gone, and we've lost, and our children are disrespected, and now you got a dry center going down and a wet center coming up, because they just wanted to get baptized.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But the same is true with the laying on of hands, and therefore we've lost, you know, respect for it. But many people don't understand the concept of it.
Yeah.
You know, Dad, you know, Kenneth E. Hagin was my spiritual father. Like I said on the last broadcast, he laid hands on me and set me into the ministry.
Yeah.
And he called it the law of contact and transmission. And he said it operates just like electricity.
Yeah.
He said when all the switches are pulled, you know, from the main power source, you know, uh-huh. and everybody's working together, you're setting the right atmosphere in the church.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? Got to have the right atmosphere for, you know, doubt and unbelief. People don't want to be there. You know, you're gonna short circuit the power.
Yeah.
And so you get in there but when everybody's working together, yielding to the Holy Ghost, worshiping God.
Yeah.
I mean, everything is. All the switches are pulled. Then, when you lay hands on somebody, I literally can sometimes feel, not every time, but I can literally feel the power of God going into somebody.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? But I've also seen where some people can actually short-circuit the power. Just like if I were to plug in a lamp and then somebody else come over and stick a case knife in it, you know, it's going to short-circuit everything. Uh-huh. And see, now we got, I've seen it so happen so many times, and I'll tell people in the pulpit, don't touch them.
Uh-huh.
And a lot of people come up and try to help you, you know, want to help pastor lay hands on people. Well, if I call you up there, then that's fine.
Uh-huh.
You understand? Because God told me to.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's not time to come up. There are times where everybody prays for everybody.
Yeah.
But when the anointing of God is on an individual, he's using that person.
Right.
And if you go up, and Brother Hayes said all the time, you short circuit the power. When you lay your hand, you know, it'd be like sort of like if I'm laying hands on, if I were to stick your finger in a light socket,
uh-huh.
and then somebody else, and you're getting electrocuted, and somebody else is going, the power's going to go into them too.
Yeah.
Well, see, I'm playing for you, not for them.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? It short circuits the power.
Yeah.
See, many people don't understand the doctrine of laying on of hands and how it works.
Yeah.
You know, you can understand it just like Jesus would explain how things meant by taking the natural and bring it into the supernatural. Yeah. Well, there's certain things that you have to understand. You know, I have a series I call The Healing Anointing. You understand?
Yeah.
And for an example, the transference of power. Think about this. There's a transfer.
Yeah.
Okay, you remember in the Old Testament when they would lay their hands on the scapegoat?
Yeah.
And they would transfer the sins and the guilt of the people onto the goat.
On the goat.
And that goat was innocent.
Yeah.
You understand? Well, what took place was a transfer.
Right.
I mean, what did that goat ever do? Nothing. It was innocent, right?
Uh-huh.
But there was a transfer. The judgment of God would fall upon that goat out in the wilderness on that innocent goat. Well, what happened? There was a transfer when that priest laid his hands on that goat. There was a transfer of the guilt and the sins of the people, and the transfer of the innocence of that goat for a year upon the people of God.
Yeah.
But what I want you to see here is a transfer
right
through the laying on of hands. For an example, they would take the cloths from the apostles.
Yeah.
They would pray over the cloths. It's called prayer cloth.
Yeah.
You see, and there is a transfer of the power of God. We've had many people healed through cloths here.
Yeah.
You know, amen. We've had, I mean, tumors dry up and go away.
Yeah.
And I lay my hands on it, and there will be a transfer of the power. Mm-hmm. Now, here's where people miss it. They think that they could do that with anything.
No.
See, for Scripture to be Scripture,
it's got to be Scripture.
I mean, if for something to be Scripture, they got to be Scripture.
That's right.
Now, I can have faith that if I lay my hands on anything cloth, you understand? I'm not trying to be legalistic here. I'm just trying to show the Scriptures to have faith. I lay my hands on cloth, but I've seen people bring notebooks. I've seen them bring newspapers. Never in the Scriptures that say you can do that with paper. See, it's a law.
Yeah.
You understand? God works that way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the law of faith, you
the
see.
Law of faith.
Yeah. You know, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus made us free from the law of sin and death.
Mm-hmm.
That means that it's something that that it is established.
Yeah.
And you have to put that law in force to cause it to work.
Yeah.
Therefore, there's an understanding a person has to have to be able to flow in the power and the anointing of God. You see what I'm saying? And if they don't have that understanding, you know, I call it they have faith accidents. You know, sometimes they get it and sometimes they don't. They just kind of stumble into it.
Yeah.
You see, but you have to understand that if you're going to flow in the power of God.
Yeah.
You know.
And God has mercy on people.
Oh, absolutely.
When they don't know and they try. But, when you know, he expects us to
Grow.
To grow, yeah.
Yeah, well, you know, you have to grow to things. God, I mean, God will, when it comes to sinners, that don't know anything, well, you know, that's, you know, we're going all over, preach the gospel, cast out devils. Healing is the calling God of the gospel.
Yeah.
Well, that's a sinner, you understand?
Uh-huh.
And then you have baby Christians, all right? Yeah. Baby Christians are those who are, listen, here's where people miss it. Baby Christians are those who are first converted, and you can carry them on your faith for a while. But a baby Christian is not somebody who's been born again and been saved for 10 years and still don't know nothing. Right. That's called a rebellious child.
Yeah.
Not doing what his father told him to do, to get into the Word of God, to study the Word of God, to get in church.
Mm-hmm.
And see, you know, and you can't carry that one. He's going to have to develop. He's going to have to obey God. He's going to have to get right with God, repent, and quit being rebellious.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? Right. There's a difference. And so we try to think that, well, if they don't know anything about the Bible, you know, that they're a baby Christian. It's not true at all. Right. That means that they're rebellious. Now, if they're first a young convert, I can care that person for a while.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And I can pray for them and they can get healed.
Yeah.
But God expects us to grow up.
Grow up.
You know, you expect your children to grow up.
Yeah.
You know, I expected mine to grow up so they could help.
You know, pay
the bills, you know.
Uh-huh.
You know, glory to God.
You don't have to baby them when they're grown.
That's right. And when the same way spiritually. We shouldn't have to baby people, you know, in the church, you know.
It doesn't help.
No, it don't help. They need to become a help.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in regard to healing, what I've discovered, and I would suggest everybody out there that wants to develop their faith, you know, go to these three scriptures. I'm fixing to read them, but I call them the three foundation stones for healing.
Yeah.
And that is the first one You know, we've been talking about the will of God concerning healing on Wednesdays, and we pointed out one of the reasons we know it's the will of God. We said, number one, because of the original creation. You know, God didn't build sickness into man. Right. What day did God create cancer? He
didn't.
You know, what day did God create, you know, a flu? He didn't, you know. You know, it wasn't there. You know, when he created man, he created him just like he wanted him.
Yeah.
You understand? And he didn't build sickness and disease in him. If he wanted sickness and disease in him, he'd have built it into him.
Right.
He created him in his own image, just like he wanted to him. He could say it this way. It was God's perfect will for Adam to be without sickness, without disease, you see. Mm-hmm. You know, so I know that it's God's will for me to be well because of the original creation. You understand? Right. Mm-hmm. We also talked about his will in heaven. Mm-hmm. You know, we know there's no sickness and disease in heaven. We pray the Lord's Prayer. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Well, he doesn't have one will for earth and one will for heaven.
No,
it's all the same. Well, Jesus Christ is what? Still the same
yesterday,
today, and forever. Yep. That means from Genesis yesterday, today, the day we're living in the now, forever in heaven. It never changes.
Yep,
and it was God's will for man to be free then, and it's God's will for man to be free now.
Yeah.
And it's received the same way by grace through faith. Now, those three foundation stones is number one is Isaiah 53:4. Now, and 5. And this is another reason why I know it is God's will to heal me. Mm-hmm. And this is the reason why. Because Isaiah is called the redemption chapter.
Yeah.
Every single, if you go to Bible school anywhere or seminary anywhere, Bible college and seminary, you know, you're going to study the redemption chapter.
Yeah.
They'll call it the redemption chapter. Let me ask you a question. Is redemption for all?
All.
All. Redemption is for all, right? All right, let's read the redemption chapter. I'm going to read it, and I'm going to give you some of the Hebrew as I go on 53, verse 3. This is speaking of Christ.
Yeah.
He is despised and rejected, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Now notice verse 4 and 5 here. Surely he, Christ, we'll go into the Hebrew here. Surely he, Christ, hath borne, nasa, in the Hebrew, as our substitute, our griefs. The word griefs there is translated, that's actually was translated on Sir Isaac Lessers, who was a Orthodox Jew, actually translates it properly. Many other translations translate it properly. But it's the word koili, which is the word for sickness. Mm-hmm. Surely had borne our sicknesses and carried as it were our own, mm-hmm. Our sorrows. The word sorrows there is a macabre for pains.
Yeah.
So it reads, he hath borne as our substitute our sicknesses and carried our pains. Mm-hmm. Yet we did esteem him stricken of God and afflicted, which means to be browbeat and so forth.
Yeah.
But he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. Mm-hmm. The chastisement of our peace, shalom, was upon him.
Yep.
And with his stripes, we are healed.
Yes.
Now, what I want you to see here is just as surely as Christ bore our sins, he also bore our sicknesses as our substitute.
Uh-huh.
You see what I'm saying here?
Yeah.
Now, let me ask you a question. Is this the redemptive chapter?
It is.
Well, it is. Is it in the redemptive chapter? We see that forgiveness of sins is there, right?
Forgiveness of sins.
So is forgiveness of sins for all?
For all.
Well, then it also says that by his stripes you were healed. That means that healing is in redemption.
It's in redemption.
So that means that healing is for all because redemption is for all.
That's right.
So it is God's will to heal all today because healing is in redemption. Glory to God. Thank God that it is. Another reason why, which is about redemption, the Bible says Christ in Galatians 3:13-14, that Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law, being made a curse for me, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on the tree, that the blessings of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that you might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith, and if you be Christ, verse 29, then are you the seed of Abraham and heirs according to the promise. It says, I've been redeemed from the curse. From the curse of the law. And part of that curse was sickness. You understand? It was part of that curse was sickness. And I've been redeemed, bought back from it. You understand? Uh-huh. From the curse of the law. You know, it's like a story I heard one time. In the Greek, when it speaks of God's Jesus Christ redeeming us, mm-hmm. In the literal Greek, it shows a slave market. The imagery there is a yeah. slave market, uh-huh. And so they bring the slaves in. That's you and me.
Yeah.
And we're you know, and all at once, you know, the guy comes up on stage and this guy's. Says, you know, is the guy this, he says he wants to purchase a slave, okay?
Yeah.
Adultery, purchase a slave. Okay, you're bound by adultery. And then up comes, you know, fornication or lying or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And they purchase the slaves. But then when they get through with them, they throw them back into the slave market.
Yeah.
They use them up and throw them back in the slave market.
Yeah.
Well, you say, who'll pay the price? Who'll pay the price, you know? And then, you know, adultery came along. But see, one day, uh-huh. When at the slave market, there was a man that stood up there.
Yeah.
And his name was Jesus, and he said, I'll pay the price.
Yeah.
And he redeemed us from that. You see, he yeah. bought us back from adultery, from fornication, from sickness,
that's
from
right.
disease, from poverty.
That's
you
right.
see, he bought us back from that. He said, I'll pay the price. That's what Isaiah said. He bore as our substitute. In other words, he stood in for us.
That's right.
He paid the price for us, for not only for our sins,
yeah.
but for our healing.
Right.
Now, that's the first foundation stone mm-hmm. that everybody should know. Then there's the next foundation stone is found in Matthew chapter 8, mm-hmm. Verse 16. Now, it says here, verse 14, and when Jesus was come into Peter's home or house, mm-hmm. he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of a fever, and he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and ministered unto them. Mm-hmm. When the evening was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word and healed all that were sick. Mm-hmm. Notice it says they brought many unto him, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet Isaiah, mm-hmm. what we just read here,
yeah.
saying himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses.
Yeah.
Now notice what it says here, that he bore our sicknesses again, and he touched, you know, Jesus reached out and touched Peter's mother-in-law and healed yeah. her. Now, I've had people tell me that that was spiritual healing. Okay? All right?
Yeah.
Which brings me to 1 Peter 2:24, which is the third foundation stone. Uh-huh. 1 Peter 2:24 says, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, mm-hmm. that we being dead to sins should live in righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed.
Yeah, that's right.
Isaiah says you are healed.
Yeah.
Isaiah, 1 Peter says you were healed.
Yeah.
That's looking, Isaiah was looking to the cross.
That's right.
Peter is looking back from the cross as an accomplished fact. Now,
yeah.
and they'll say, well, you know, that means spiritual healing. That's bunk with a capital yeah. B. Huh. And the reason why it is the Greek word for healed there is anomai in the Greek, and it always, every single time it is used, denotes or refers to physical healing.
That's
now,
right.
let me ask you a question. When Jesus healed Peter's mother-in-law of a fever, was that a spiritual fever?
No.
No, what the spiritual fever was it?
That was on the body. It was hot.
It was hot. That's right. And he healed her. It says the fever left her.
Yeah.
Then it says, and when the evening was come, they brought many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word and healed all that were sick. It says many. It speaks of him as healing a multitude. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, was all those people he healed, were they spiritually sick or were they physically sick?
Physically.
And it says that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses.
That's right.
Now, that's the redemptive chapter, isn't it?
It is.
Okay, now let me ask you a question. Is redemption for all?
For all.
For all. That means that healing is for all.
Yeah, healing is
and
for all.
And just like the forgiveness of sin is received by grace through faith, healing is received by grace through faith. The
that's
same
right.
exact
same
way.
Thing.
Glory to God.
And we get to know the Lord as we take him at his word.
Absolutely.
You know, it may be a challenge, but take him at his word and defeat that challenge. Destroy that challenge.
Absolutely. You know, it's for everybody. You know, and here's And understand something, you know, I thank God for the fivefold ministry. I'm called to the fivefold ministry, and there are special anointings. I have an anointing upon my life to preach and to teach the word of God, just like that's you right. have an anointing upon your life to do it. Uh-huh. And also I have an anointing to you know, heal, you know. Yeah. Brother Hagin, you know, you'll see many times, you know, you will, whatever anointing you sit up under, you will partake of.
Yeah.
You understand? Right. And I sit up under Dad's ministry, and then he laid hands on me, you know, and I called it my spiritual heritage, and I've laid hands on people in this church for the very, laid hands on you,
yeah,
you know, for the very same thing. And I always loved this spiritual heritage, you know, but you remember how I talked to you about the transference,
yeah,
you know, of the anointing. We see, Moses laying hands on Joshua. He carried that anointing to lead the people of Israel.
And it works.
We saw the same way with Elijah and Elisha. You see that thing, same thing going on, because the anointing is transferable, and the person you sit up under, that's why you need to choose who you sit under.
Yeah.
You know,
I had a customer, he got diagnosed with throat cancer, and I thought he called me about a car, but he was concerned about that. And his mother was Christian. I said, did you ever ask the Lord to save you? He said, no. I led him through the prayer and he got saved.
Praise God.
And right before that bad tornado that tore up Pleasant Grove.
Yeah, yeah.
A week later, he wanted me to come by. He did want me to work on a car later. And I went and got money for the parts. And then he had been to the doctor about the throat cancer. And I laid hands on him. Now, when I laid hands on him, I didn't feel anything.
Yeah.
But he said that when I laid hands, he told me this days later, he said, man, when you laid hands on me, I felt the power of God
going
in
my throat. Glory to God.
And he said that when they took the trach out, he said he healed so fast that all the doctors came and got each other and looked at
him. Oh, my goodness.